Hey guys, thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of A Convo with Mo. It's your girl Mo Diggs, and I am here with the gang.
Gang, 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 gang.
Oh yeah, lit today. We live today.
We
okay, so first things first, we have a really special guest here. She is an author and a writer and a nurse extraordinaire. We have Gabby Raymeyer.
Welcome, welcome.
Welcome, Gabby.
Of course. Gabby, can you tell the people a little bit about yourself?
Sure. My name is Gabby, and I live in Baltimore. I'm a nurse there, a community health nurse with the homeless population. I grew up in Swaziland, Southern Africa, where my parents are missionaries.
Oh, dang. Shoot. I was not aware.
Yes. Moved to Baltimore about 9 years ago. A little bit of my story, I started struggling when I was a teenager with homosexuality and went all the way into the lifestyle for about 8-9 years. And God delivered me from that and brought me out. So that's what my book is about, Ransomed Heart. It's about God walking me out of that and the process, because it wasn't something that happened overnight. Mm. And the process still continues.
Okay. Amen. Amen. Shout out to freedom.
Amen.
Yeah, thank you for sharing, Gabby. So we also have our norm, our OGs. Right now, I mean, Lindsay,
I'm an OG now?
Now, yeah.
Oh yes,
I welcome. Welcome to the. I feel like once
she said OG, I looked at Lauren. I was like,
no, I feel like once you
know.
I feel like once you do like two, three pods, like you an OG, like
oh.
you're
I'm honored.
You're family to the pod.
I'm honored.
So shout out to Lindsay. Lindsay, what's up? Say what's up to the
people. Poppin', beautiful people. It's your girl Lindsay. If you haven't followed me already, I don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Please go follow me on Instagram.
Crown by Grace.
You know.
And she do hair. So come get your
hair done. Yes. Crown by Lens.
Crown by Lens. Crown
follow
by Grace.
Follow that.
We just crown.
We crowned all around.
We crowned all around. And then we got the, Lawrence, we got to give you a, you got to be an OG, because at this point.
He a veteran.
He a veteran.
An original.
He a vet to the game. Lawrence, say what's up.
Hello, my beautiful kings and queens.
Yes, Lord.
All right, so just I guess a quick recap. Last week we talked about Kanye. I know you guys thought we were gonna go into the podcast that I did with Project D30, because I gave you guys a snippet, aka 5 minutes.
Yeah. A whole view
of it last week, but we had to, you know what I'm saying, disrupt your weekly programming with a new podcast. So that's gonna be coming next week. So y'all gotta stay tuned for all that tea. It's too much tea going around and all that. Okay, boom. So as far as the last podcast, I remember something that I said. I said Kanye wasn't going to chart.
She said no. She said none of these songs. I repeat, none of these songs are going
to
chart.
I would like to repeat.
So as soon as it said Billboard, so I said, let me send this to Mo.
I wish you guys could see. We have a guest here. I wish you could see his face when I said that. That was out of just like, you know, saying I repent.
Thank you.
I repent. I take it back.
We he charted.
And I
number one on Billboard 200.
Come on.
But I said
one.
No. I think what I said was, I didn't say that Kanye wasn't gonna chart, because I said Kanye's gonna chart off the strength that he's Kanye. I did say that. If you guys
Mo, I don't I remember
I
hearing
said
that.
You, if you guys
but what you
back,
did say, I sent it back to you verbatim.
I said Kanye, if he charts, he's only gonna chart because he's Kanye, not because people are really cranking these songs. And I mean, he charted, so you know what? I repent, Kanye. Shout out to you. Woo-hoo. Shout out to being Billboard number one. Boom.
Thank
okay.
Thank you for being a woman of your word.
Thank you. You know what I'm saying? Praise God. It's growth. Really quickly, we want to shout out Release to Empower. Kim, KP Sparks, and Kibo Betts are hosting their event. I think it's November 17th.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, November 17th. They are hosting a women and men empowerment event. Shout out to the you know, gender neutral spaces, you know. So they are hosting their second annual empowerment event, so make sure you guys get tickets to that. Follow Release to Empower on Instagram, and just shout out to the gang. That's the home team. Next we are going to be talking about, I don't know if you guys have seen it on social media, but a lot of our Black women are going missing.
Mm-hmm.
It's really scary. I feel like every single day I see find my cousin, find my sister, find my aunt on Twitter and on Instagram. And I'm just like, huh?
Because, you know, you never think like something like that can happen to you or somebody you know.
Yeah,
you
know
what I'm saying?
Yep, exactly.
But I also have been seeing like other people posting their friends, families, and loved ones, like, oh, this person is missing. You're just like, hey, Reddit, like, what's going on?
This could be me.
Yeah.
And one thing I want to say is make sure that you're safe, because there's a lot of sex trafficking going on. women's sex trafficking, child sex trafficking, period. So just make sure you're safe. There's a lot of like tips on Twitter as far as like noticing, you know, when someone's following you, signs, seeing things on your car. Yeah. Don't talk to strangers. Yeah. It's as simple as like not talking to strangers. The other day I went to a gas station and some girl was in the car with this guy and outside she just like screamed, "Oh my gosh, you're beautiful." And I was like, "Oh, thank you." And she was like, "Come here." And I was like, "No." I'm like, "No, I don't know whether."
She said, "Come here."
Come here. She was like, "Come here. What foundation are you wearing?" Like, just like trying to be. And I'm just like, these are things that I would normally be like, "Girl, I'm wearing MAC 240. Yeah. You know, obviously that's not it. But you know what I'm saying? But like.
Like you would just interact.
Yeah, I would just interact. But now I'm like, mm-mm.
You're being cautious.
Yeah, I'm like, no, I can't walk over there. I don't know you guys. And we at a gas station. This is ghetto. Like, I'm not trying to get snatched.
Is that your
up.
New favorite word? Ghetto?
It's ghetto. It's ghetto. Everything's ghetto. I'm telling you. No. Everything is ghetto, but things that are really ghetto.
Needy Leaks gift.
No, literally. Lawrence, what are your thoughts?
I think the biggest thing is that with the black girls going missing, that. It has to, like, it was due to the hashtag of bringing it to the forefront because it wasn't something being seen on, like, news media.
It's absolutely not, yeah.
And so I think it's a sad thing and a good thing. Good thing because a lot of people are on social media and they do see that across their feed.
Yeah.
But a sad thing that it was like we had to present it from our own or from our
Black
own community.
Twitter.
Like, this is us. This is what we find important. This is what you need to look at it, and not in a massive national thing.
Yeah.
That's actually interesting. I didn't even think about the fact that it wasn't on
None
the
of
news.
It's on national news. Nobody's seeing it. It's actually scary. But once again, guys, just be careful. Pay attention. What's the word that the Bible uses? It says, like, be...
Vigilant?
Gabby, what are your thoughts?
On being vigilant?
No. No, just, like, everything that's going on as far as, like, black women going missing.
Well, you're saying it's been on social media. I am not on social media, so that's interesting because, like, just watching the general news, I haven't seen or heard anything.
Which
so
is
if I wouldn't
so
have heard
scary.
You guys sharing on it because I'm not on social media, I wouldn't know anything about it. So
that's
I think that
so insane.
Is something that needs to be taken into consideration.
Yeah.
And definitely. I don't know. It feels like that's something that needs to be
on mass media.
Yeah, exactly.
Girl, you know what? We just gonna. That's why we're taking over the broadcast waves.
Amen.
The next topic I wanted to talk about. If you guys, I don't know if you guys have been on Twitter, but recently there was a tweet that went off. It was this beautiful black woman. I wish I had her name. I actually do. Give me 2 seconds, guys. Her at name on Twitter. She basically started a what they call it, like a beauty store. Yeah, so her name is officially _sin on Twitter, and she started opening a beauty supply store. The tweet was like, "Little flex, the beauty supply store I'm opening is looking like a real store. Finally, I just need to thank God. Stop going to them Asians for your hair products, sis." And I was like, oh, this is lit. Now, what happened after that was basically Asian Twitter came at her like, sis, you being racist. Like, what if we said stop going to black beauty supply stores?
And that doesn't like, make sense.
Yeah, I'm just like, that doesn't really make sense. Like, and then black Twitter came for Asian Twitter. Like, first of all, y'all selling our products to us and you don't even want to work with us.
Right.
Like, y'all not giving us loans. Y'all not selling the products to us wholesale. Like, y'all, you know what I'm saying? Like,
And I feel like, no, I feel like even just, like, going into beauty supply stores, I've had my fair share of beauty supply stores doing hair and all, but I think that there are beauty supply stores that I've been to that I was like, I would never go back to this store.
Yeah.
Just because of the way that they treat you. And you're just like, first of all, if you're in business for black people or for, like, people that, you know, will buy your products and stuff, you can't be treating us like, oh, we're just all going to, like,
peasants.
Steal your stuff.
Oh, yeah,
it's just,
yeah,
like... I don't know. I think that if you're doing business with people or you're doing business for people, there's a way that you just show respect, number one.
Yeah.
But there's a way that you go about things. And I feel like I think that it's fair for people who are using these products, who the companies that are benefiting money from us, like it makes sense for us to sell it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, also just like if we are being treated unfairly in your establishments and we create our own space, get off of our nuts.
Right.
Like, what the heck? I don't know. I just, no, seriously. Like, I can't count how many times I go into a beauty supply store and I'm like, oh, where's the nail glue? And they're like, in the front, girl. Like, are they like, I don't have time for you. I'm like, I'm buying your product, putting money in your family's mouth, and you guys are treating me like a peon. So I don't know. I just, when I saw that, I was like, this is freaking crazy. Lawrence, what are your thoughts?
I do understand where she's coming from, but it's just there's the one thing where it's just like, when you brought it up to me, my first question was, does it look as nice?
Yeah,
because a lot of times people will be like, support black businesses, but when we roll up at the place, it's not excellent sometimes.
That's true.
And it's just like, they out of mac and cheese, and it's called John's Mac and Cheese. And I'm like, well, so what are you selling today? It's just like, we don't got the sweet tea, we don't got the lemonade. And I'm just like, so what do you have? Is it because I came at 3 o'clock p.m. in the middle of the day? Like, what's going on? Are you going to do another shipment? What's happening?
Oh, no.
And so it's just like, I think wanting to build up and better it, but I do understand where she's coming from, because you go to a lot of beauty supply stores, and I've been to one, and like, the people were following me, and I was there with my female friend. I wasn't buying nothing, I wasn't looking at nothing, I was just standing with her, and I could tell that we were being followed and being watched while we were walking into the store. I mean, even Walmart, they block off all the natural hair products.
Like, yeah, they be putting little things on them
and all those, like, but all the other Tresemme ain't locked up, like,
don't nobody
all these other brands, they're not locked up. It's all these particular black brands that are locked up, and it just kind of makes you feel like, well, it increases the stigma that black people are criminals, or that black people steal, or black people are like, just do vile stuff, and we can't be responsible over businesses, and we can't be responsible to be law-abiding citizens when we go to the store. So I agree with her, and I kind of lean toward the notion that black people can't be racist, but that's another topic for another podcast.
Yeah, that's another. I second that notion, but anyways.
No, but I think, just to add off what Lauren said, like, I think it's true when you said, what does it look like? I think black businesses do have a tendency. Like, I think we
not all shop the
not
shop.
All not all okay plug but like, we have a tendency sometimes to not really push customer service, and I think that even just from whether it's clothes that you're buying from their shops, or whether you're getting your hair done and stuff, because I, like, for example, I know a friend who went to go get her hair done, like, she got a frontal, and she said she didn't like the way it was done. She contacted the girl to see if she could redo it, and she said the girl just blocked her. And I was like,
okay,
whoa.
So I do feel like there's a different, I don't know, but like, I feel like sometimes with like hair companies and like beauty hairstylists, there's like some weird energy that y'all be having. Like, I'm not even gonna joke.
Not all of them,
but like, some of them be having this weird energy. I don't know if they get it from their mentors or the websites or what it is, but
yeah,
like,
I see what you're saying.
I don't know. I just be feeling like I don't know. Like, they be really in their bag. So that branch of black business
is hard.
It's hard, and it's, I don't know.
But I think just, yeah, I definitely see what you're saying. I agree with you. But I think it's just saying, like, all around, like, our customer service
ain't as lit. Yeah. This is true. I mean, that's also because, like, you know, I don't know.
I mean, also, too, to the fact that sometimes we don't get the funding like other businesses.
To even just have a whole, like, because some people aren't meant to be in customer service. You know what I'm saying?
But I think that, like, regardless, if you're in business, one way or another, you're in customer service. You get what I'm saying? Like, whether you're delivering something, whether it's clothes, hair, whatever it is, like, you're providing some sort of service in some way, shape, or form. And so I think that, like, there has to be a standard, regardless if you have the funding and stuff. You have to be able to, like, present your best. You know what I'm saying?
I feel you. I do.
Right.
The customer is always right.
Always.
And as you know, small business owners in general just need to level up on their customer service. I'm serious. Except for the Div Shop. Shop us. Okay, so I know you guys know the real topic of today's podcast. We've been rapping. I'm sorry, y'all. The real topic of today's podcast is T.I.'s latest stunt in media. I mean, he just be from rapping about Iggy Azalea.
He rapped about her?
No, I mean, like, in interviews, like cheating on his wife, to going to jail. Yeah. I mean, he just be in his bag.
Expeditiously.
He just be in his bag. And so, basically, in the latest news for T.I., he went on a podcast called the Ladies Like Us podcast, who has since issued an apology and took down the podcast. Basically, he got on the podcast and said that he, takes his daughter to the gynecologist after like every birthday, every year, to make sure that her hymen isn't broken, to know that she's not having sex. And to make sure that her hymen is not broken, make sure that's intact, mm-hmm. as a qualification to know that his daughter is not having sex or is not out here, I don't know, doing whatever he thinks that she shouldn't be doing. And I don't know, this, everyone's up in arms, everyone, and by everyone I mean I, I am up in arms, because I just feel like this is insane. Like, it's atrocious, it's disgusting, but something about it, it feels very reminiscent of like me growing up and just like my mom being hyper, like, I guess we're gonna get into like helicopter parenting and just like, you know, super being like, are you having sex? Are you having sex? Are you having sex? Like, if I give a boy a handshake, it's like, are you having sex? You know what I mean? So I don't know. I just, if it kind of triggers something in me, but at the same time, I'm just like, yeah, this is disgusting. And I hope he stops, because it seems like, I don't know if you guys saw it, but Deja's was liking tweets on Twitter that were like, that, yeah, she was liking tweets on Twitter. His daughter's name is Deja Harris, and she was liking tweets on Twitter that were basically like, he's invading her privacy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so she's obviously not on board with it. She just does it because she has to. And she's, I mean, she just turned 18, and he made her go on her 18th birthday. So I don't know, it's really gross to me.
You know what? Social media has really been talking about it all week.
Yeah.
But I think that, to be fair, these, from the things that I was seeing, like, someone also said, you know, who are, before, prior to the tweets, because I didn't know she was liking those tweets, but someone was saying, you know, who are we to judge his parenting and what goes on in his household? I think that, for one, it should have never been made public. Like, they should have just kept that.
That's another thing.
In there.
Like, how, okay, Gabby, what do you, imagine being 18 and everyone, and, like, imagine being 18 and everyone knows what's going on in your vagina.
Super embarrassing.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
But continue, Lindsay.
Oh, no, I thought you were gonna...
I was giving it to Gabby.
Okay. Yeah, Gabby can go ahead.
Oh, no, I don't know how I would respond to that as an 18-year. I remember being 18 and so excited to escape being underneath my parents' roof, because at the time I was kind of living in a way that they didn't agree with, and but they weren't controlling my life, like, even through the parts where I was at my worst, they still gave me some level of freedom and didn't share what was going on with the whole world, which I appreciated.
Yeah. I feel like, even, I guess, going into a bit of your testimony, like, having that freedom gave you the ability to, like, find yourself in Christ, if that makes sense.
It gave me the space to fall.
Yes.
And in my own doing, so that I couldn't then blame my parents.
Yes.
And I needed that. I needed to be able to go as far as I thought I could, and however many years it took for me to, many different things happened where I don't think I should have even lived through them just because of dumb decisions and things that I was doing.
Yeah.
But they never controlled me. They prayed for me. They loved me. They stood by my side. And I, looking back, I'm so thankful that they responded the way they did, even though they were hurting, because I was hurting them.
Yeah.
But I needed that space to be able to fall, to find myself and to really come to know Christ as a father who also doesn't
control you.
And right. He allows you the space to choose him or to choose to go your own way.
Yeah.
Hoping or praying, loving you to himself all the while.
That's real.
Girl, that's a word. Yeah, that was so soft, but it shot me in my heart. I feel like a lot of the issue with helicopter parenting is the future resentment that comes, because for me, right? Like, I think there was one time where, like, I left the house to go to 7-Eleven with my neighbor.
Yeah.
And so we went to 7-Eleven, but I don't think I told my mom. I think I just left, like, and it was like up the street. Mm-hmm. So we walked to 7-Eleven, we came back, and by that time my mom was like searching the entire neighborhood for me. And mind you, I was like 14, so I'm not young, but I'm young, like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I'm still a kid.
Early teen.
And so when I get home, she's like, rah, rah, like, where were you? You were with boys. I'm like, no, we just went to 7-Eleven. You're lying. I'm like, no, we literally, like, and I'm an adult now, so obviously I'm being honest. Like, we literally just went to 7-Eleven, came back. She's like, what boy did you go with? I was like, oh, I went with my neighbor, Farzana. Mind you, she's this like a like sweet like Pakistani girl mm-hmm. that's like has the same strict parents as yeah. I do. She was like, I saw that girl with boys one day. And I'm just like, no, mommy, you didn't see her with boys because she's not allowed to be with boys. Like, and like, it was just like, she like, you know, got on me, like, you know, whatever punishment she did. It was just, and the punishment and the, like the extremity of her punishment in that moment was so scarring yeah. for me. And I was like, I like resent, like sometimes I think about it, now I'm just like, dang, did she have to go that hard? Yeah. Like I really resented my mom for a while mm-hmm. because I just felt like, one, why didn't you just believe me? Mm-hmm. And even if you didn't believe me, like why didn't you just let me like grow through it or just mm-hmm. like talk to me about why I shouldn't mm-hmm. go quote unquote hang out with boys even though I'm at 7-Eleven? Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Sometimes that explanation does so much more. Rather than just being like punished or shouted at or no, you shouldn't do this, but the explanation of why am I telling you not to do this? Yes. Why is there going to yeah. be punishment? What is the good that you're trying to provide for me through this and not just the outcome if I do the wrong thing?
Yeah.
And I saw that when I was 15, I stole my passport and a bunch of money and like jumped. I went to another country to visit someone I was talking to at the time.
Oh, you were? Oh, you
I was
gone. Wow, wow.
For like a week. I told.
I was just going to 7-Eleven. Right. I was just going up the street.
Oh, troops.
Yeah. Like, catching flight.
and stupid me posted something at the time I had Facebook. I posted a picture and it said where I was. My parents found out. And when I came back, I thought they were going to like kick me out the house, send me back to the States. I didn't know what was going to happen. And my dad, when he picked me up, I had never seen him cry. He cried that night. And that like affected me more than I think any punishment they could have given me. And I don't even think they punished me. They were like, this is beyond punishment.
Yeah.
Like, we don't even know what to do with you
and
at
the
this
way,
point.
They picked you up, though, from the airport?
Right. Yeah. He picked me up from the bus stop.
Wow.
I was so
scared. But you had like the audacity to call them and text them. I would have had to catch a taxi. Taxi!
I didn't have any more money.
Dang. That's like prodigal son.
Yeah, that is prodigal son. And they just came and got you. My mom would have been like, get the same way you left. Take that same way to come back.
Like, dang. But I'm telling you, that grace and that just like that understanding and the it's weird. It's like, you know, they're like letting you figure it out. And I just feel like for T.I., he's not like the, it also like I just feel like T.I., the people that you should be worried about is like your 13-year-old son that's having sex with your padding on the back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, or, you know, yourself for not being able to be faithful to your wife. You know what I mean? Like, I think that he's more scared of himself than he is of like what his daughter is capable of.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, if you think your daughter is capable of half the things that you have done, then maybe you need to change and let her see that change and be the change that you want to see in her. Because I feel like a lot of the times with our parents, they're not the greatest examples because and they're humans.
Yes.
So it's like it's fine.
Yeah.
But they're not great examples. And then they're being hypocrites. And so like I feel like at a young age, you can tell hypocrisy.
Definitely.
Like you can you know what hypocrisy is. So when they're not like being 100% with you and when they're not communicative with you, it's almost like shut up.
Yeah,
like I'm shocked that Deja hasn't been like you know what, it's almost like a sense of abuse to me because I'm like, she has to be scared to be able to stand there and be like no, like to be able to stand there and be
the
like
presence of your parent,
you know what I mean? Like, she has to be fearful. It's such a gross form of abuse, like manipulative abuse, because he's like, in the interview you hear him be like, do you have anything opposed to me knowing how your hymen is? And it's just like, I'm just like, somebody call HIPAA.
You know what though, I think
that's for the health professionals.
I don't care.
Like, somebody report the doctor.
Somebody gotta be reported for this. Somebody. I mean, this is just out of pocket.
I think, you know what, to give him the benefit of the doubt, hold on, hold the stones.
Okay.
To give him the benefit
of the doubt. No, they already out of my hand. They gone. My stone was long gone.
I think that, going back to what I said earlier, I think that definitely, for one, it shouldn't have been made public. You know, what you do in your house, how you raise your children is how you raise your children. No one can really tell you how to raise your children.
This is true.
And
we don't have kids, by the way.
Yeah. So, you know, we just giving our opinion.
Yeah. From our childhood.
Right. But I think also going back to what you said, I don't know who said it or where this quote was, but it was a quote that said, you know, we raise our daughters, but we love our boys or love our sons. Mm. And I think that this is an example of that. Like, for example, like my mom was also really like, are you having sex? Are you having sex? If a boy has sex with you, you'll get pregnant. Blah, blah, blah. I was just like, I think
even
that
if
was
a boy looks at you.
Yo, I think that was her biggest fear when I was growing up that I would just get pregnant.
And yo,
I was just
even, like, I'm talking about to this day, I'll be like, oh, daddy, can I talk to you about something? He'll be like, are you pregnant? I'm like, what? No. Like, I just need money for like water. I don't know.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And it's just this thing, like, you know, this protection that we have over our daughters. We want them to do the right thing. We want them to go far. We, you know, we don't want them to be like stigmatized or anything like that. And so there's this amount of pressure that we put on them to display excellence and to not almost like bring a shame in a way. And so I think my mom was also very much like that. I remember one time, I don't know what I ate, but like I was throwing up and she was like, are you pregnant? No, you can tell me, like, tell me, it's okay. And I was like, I was getting annoyed. I was like, I'm not pregnant. Like, get out of my face.
Oh,
like,
yeah. No.
I was like, I'm not pregnant. Yeah. Like,
don't
what the
be.
Heck?
This is the thing. You cannot throw up in front of African moms. Like, if you throw up in front of an African mom, you're pregnant. That's it. I remember one time I told my boyfriend's mom I was not feeling well, I was sick. She was like, come talk to me. come and talk to me. I'm like, yes, auntie. You know you can tell me anything, right? I'm just like, oh, yeah. I'm thinking, like, what is this? What's going on? She's like, are you pregnant? I'm like, first of all, we not. Anyways, no. Like, I literally, like, don't get sick in front of your African. And being a girl, which is just goes to say, like, what if the son is sick? Everybody in the house is on duty. Everybody in the house is on duty. Which just is like literally, I think that's the
perfect
way to
explain. This is a double standard. Yeah, it's just a double standard. But I think going back to T.I. and to Deja, I didn't know she was liking tweets. I think that's different because another perspective that was brought out there was like, you know, we don't know if she was like, daddy, you know, I'm a virgin. Like, I'll prove it to you, blank. And then he went with her. So it was like before that, we didn't really know the dynamic behind how this happened and all. But I think that, like you said, it just goes to show that he's scared of himself, like, you know, and to think that, dang, all you've done all this with other women, you know, you've had this past, etc. And so now you're placing this fear over your daughter to be like, oh, you know, don't do this because you don't want somebody else's son to do what you did to somebody else's daughter, you know. And so it's also kind of this guilty thing. But I think that, like we were saying, like God himself being sovereign and king of the universe doesn't even
do that,
like,
to us.
You know, put us in such a box, you know what I'm saying? He does allow us to have free will and make choices. I think that it's also important though for parents to, you know, raise up your child in the way that they should go. And so that's why I'm like, we can have our opinion on it, but it's like, at the end of the day, he's a parent, you know, he makes the decisions in his household. But I think that he has to give her some sort of like a little bit of leeway, because you know how even growing up African, when you have like really strict parents, like I've seen multiple times when your parents are like super strict and they get to college, they be wild.
I mean, that was me. I mean, I was wild and wild. They was being strict, but that's neither here nor there. I just feel. Go ahead, Lindsay.
go ahead, Lindsay. She's like, I'm gonna be here all day.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Because like, I'll be rapping.
Yeah, so I think, you know, if there's not a balance, you know, you can cause the child to like wild out. And I'm not speaking on her character because I don't know how she is, so I'm not saying she's gonna wild out or anything.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, if you hold the leash too tight, sometimes when you let go of it, they ain't never coming back. You know, so we have to be mindful of those things too. But at the end of the day, like I said, it's his daughter. I can't tell him how to parent, but I think that it might have been better if it was her mother doing that and not him.
I also feel like, where is the mother in all this? Because I'm like, there's no way that you, it just makes me feel like this is the dynamic that I see. And yeah, maybe I'm being judgy, but this is the dynamic that I see, right? I see Tiny being some, like, you know, just like housewife, just in the house, you know, obliging to everything that T.I. says. And then I see her, like, Deja just like crying out for help, just kind of like, you know.
But Tiny's also not Deja's mother.
Like, she in prison.
Deja has another
she
mother.
Tiny isn't Deja's mom.
And Deja lives with T.I.
and T.I.
So I think that maybe that also plays a role.
She ain't in prison, but I mean, this it just sounds like jail. I don't know. Go ahead, Lawrence. What are your thoughts?
Because I feel like if you watch the TV show, their Family Hustle TV show, he has expressed on the show that he is harder on his daughters than he is his males. his sons.
That's why they all look never. Yeah.
And so like, cause the a lot of people have been brought up about King, who is like 13 or 14, who is like getting sexually active.
Yeah.
But you see on their end where you see Tiny more active on her sons about, you know, the things that he's doing and the things that getting on him about that. And then I was talking to my coworkers, and I think she kind of had a point. And then also Jeannie Mai kind of brought this up on The Real, where she was just like, these are his kids. Mm-hmm. Like, when you are under the age of 18, your child's sex life or sexual activity is your business.
It is.
Everything that they do is your business.
Oh, dang.
Because it's just like...
He might be right.
you're raising them up to set boundaries and to be law-abiding citizens. And a child does not know any of... a child does not know things about sex. And that's why some of us are problematic that we are. Mm. It's because nobody sat us down and had conversations and told us about sex and told us about even cared about our hymen to begin with. Some of us don't even know what our hymen is.
But the thing is, like, I feel like
women's hymen, not our hymen.
Yeah, I'm like, you don't have a hymen. I feel like the thing is, though, there's ways to go about being a good parent.
Definitely.
And, you know, talking about sex and talking about, using preventative measures and just wait, like, don't get pregnant. You know, just like there's ways to go about having the sex talk without, you know, invading their privacy. Yeah. Like, I just feel like there's, like, obviously they're your kids. So, you know, everything they do is your business. That's a fact. But like, there should be boundaries. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's boundaries because, let's see, they're not your property. You know, obviously they're yours, but like, it's the same way that CPA is in place because people abuse their property. You know what I'm saying? They abuse their children. Otherwise, or CPS, I said CPA. CPS, Child Protective Services, is a thing because people don't know how to raise their kids. Yeah. And if people raising their kids is none of our business, then CPS wouldn't be a thing. You know what I'm saying? And people would take that, like, abuse their kids to oblivion because, you know, that's none of your business. Mm-hmm. So I just feel like there's boundaries and there's ways to go about raising your kids. And I feel like, I think T.I. should be ashamed. And I think he owes her an apology because I feel like, obviously, you raise your kids how you want to raise your kids. But if you can see that your daughter is liking tweets that are against, like, that are saying that she feels like her privacy is being invaded and that T.I. is sick, then, like, obviously, you know what I'm saying? So, like, she's unhappy. Something is going on. Something's wrong. So I don't know. I just feel like he needs to apologize to her because she's hurt. And I feel like that is, like, important. Parents apologizing to their children is important. So she deserves an apology also because he put her business out there. Like, you put your 18-year-old's daughter's sexual activity on blast for social media.
Yeah.
Everybody knows about what's going on in Deja's. You wanted so bad for her to be a virgin. Now everybody knows what's going on with your daughter's vagina and is talking about your daughter's vagina. Mm-hmm. How does that make you feel?
Yeah.
I don't know.
As well. But I do know, this couple, Breland and Tim Bowman.
Mm-hmm.
They're from this area, the Upper Marlboro area. And I don't know if you've heard their story, but they were both virgins when they got married.
Mm-hmm.
When she got married, though, she decided to present a certification of virginity to, like, her father. Mm-hmm. To, like, show him, like, oh, like, I did go the way that you wanted me to go. Like,
yeah.
You know, I stayed a virgin till tonight or whatever.
Yeah.
And so here's a certificate just to show you, just to prove. So she went to go do the little hymen thing. I think that was different, though. And I think that
she
was voluntarily. And I thought that the way she did it was, like, honorable. Like, oh, that's cool.
And, like, the same way people are proud in their sexuality and being sexually open, I think is the same way that people should be proud about their virginity.
Definitely.
Because being sexually active. Okay, hold on. Sorry. I feel like in this day and age, the more sexually active you are, the more people are like, yeah, go, yeah. And people shame virgins for kind of being, and I've done it before too. I've shamed virgins. I'd be like, yo, chill, like, okay, we get it, you're a virgin, like, relax, you know what I'm saying? But like, the same way that people are so proud and have pride in, you know, their homosexuality or have pride in their, you know, their open sexuality, I think also that virgins should be proud of their
Definitely.
Sexuality and their, you know, have pride in the fact that, oh, I'm waiting. I feel like you should still have the same pride. But I think it's your pride. It's not your parents' pride. It's not your, you know what I'm saying? It's not your boyfriend's pride. He shouldn't be bragging about it. It's something that is yours. And so I don't think that T.I. should be on radio being like, rah, rah, you know, like, I am checking to make sure my daughter. If his daughter's like, hey, dad, like, I want to show you that I'm still a virgin. That's a vibe. That's her vibe. Yeah, Do your thing.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know.
I just think it just goes to show how, like, we've kind of steered away. It's kind of like, you know, when you don't look at the cause of something and you just look at the effect, like, or the symptoms. Like, I think that's what it is, because it's not so much about being a virgin or not being a virgin, right? It's more about, like, purity and integrity and, like, righteousness and stuff like that. And so I think that if you get down to, like, the root of it, you won't be too concerned. Like, if you explain more, like Gabby was saying, like, why?
Yeah.
Like, why this is the lifestyle that you should be living and stuff, you won't be so much concerned with, like, are they doing this or that, because you know that they have, or like you're teaching them the premises, the reason behind it.
And I think also too, it's kind of like we learn so much from this scenario, just in reference to the helicopter parenting,
because
we recognize that this is a helicopter parent because he's crossing her boundaries. And so it's just like it's like understanding as a parent, training not only your child up, as we talked about before, in the way that they should particularly should go, but to have their own boundaries, to have their own mind, to have their own ability to say yes or no, or to consent to certain things, even if it is the parent themselves that they're saying no to.
Yeah.
And having that respect and that boundary. I feel like another thing that we've opened discussion for is sex education.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people view that this view that if a lot of studies are talking about, like, sometimes your hymen does not break.
We didn't even get into that.
And so it's not a test of virginity. So it questions, you know. And then I think T.I. also, and he was also drunk on the podcast. They were tipsy. They took shots before the podcast.
Yeah,
so,
and
I
those
mean,
and
that the, already is a setup for just atrocity. But it's just like, I just think that this has become more of a learning experience for all of us, to learn more about sexuality, to learn more about parenting, to learn more about watch what we say, about, you know, the still problematic issues that we see in pop culture and in hip hop.
Yeah.
So,
Gabby, what are some of your thoughts? Have we been rapping?
I was just thinking about issues of the heart and how, like you guys were saying, like this is, it's a symptom of something that's so much deeper. And I think Lindsay mentioned purity and how, okay, you can do all the tests that are out there to test if someone is a virgin or not. But at the end of the day, what God looks at is the heart and the condition of our heart. And in Matthew 5, I think he talks about how even if you've done the act in your mind, you've already done it. Yeah. So we're focusing on the physical act and what you can see and what can be tested. But really, like, we're just culturally, our hearts are so far from purity. And God considers the reason why our purity is so important is because God considers our sexuality precious. It's something that's a gift. It's a precious thing, and he guards that. He protects that. And so as parents, wanting to make sure your children know how precious it is and why, and how to protect that and why it's special, and then knowing that's the way that God sees it, because having sex and that act is, it's like a symbol of covenant, entering into covenant in the same way God enters into covenant with us. And so going into, like, if we understand that, it's not so much about, oh, have you had sex or have you not had sex, but what's going on in your heart. And I think if we grow up to be a generation and raise a generation that is more concerned with what's going on in the heart versus the symptoms that are coming out of the heart issue, it'll make all the difference in the world. But we keep trying to focus on the things that ultimately aren't the real issue and won't matter at the end of the day, and making it a big thing and hurting our kids in the process, as we see here.
Yeah, dang.
And that'll speak for itself.
And let's you know, just, I guess, to wrap up, I guess everyone give their final thoughts on that topic, and then I kind of want you to go a little bit more into your book, Gabby, and just like sell your book, sis, you know what I'm saying? get your promo.
Okay, so it's called Ransomed Heart, and it's available on Amazon. It basically, I started writing it in 2015 was when I gave my life back to Christ, and started the process of walking away from homosexuality, which in my mind I thought would mean that I would wake up the next day and I would be straight. Like, I would, all my desires, feelings would change. And whenever it didn't happen that way, I really struggled, and I fell so many times. But I had some really awesome mentors and friends around me that came alongside me and stood by even when I fell and even when it got ugly. And God put on my heart to start writing. So for a period of 9 months, every weekend I locked myself up in my room, and it was just like, he just told me, just let everything out. There was no order. It was a hot mess all over the place. I would just remember things throughout the week, make note of it, and then expand on it. And eventually it turned into a book. And I just, you know, when you just feel like you got to do something and it's just this heaviness, but it doesn't feel so heavy because God's in it. So it's like, he takes the burden, he carries the burden. Yeah. And he gives you the ability to do something where you wouldn't, it would have felt so burdensome before. And so that's what it felt like. The whole process was just like, as I would remember things, hard things that happened, the way I hurt people, because I led so many people who once looked up to me as like a Christian leader. In high school, I led a Bible study, but when I started struggling, I led a lot of people astray because I didn't want to fall by myself. I wanted to lead as many people.
Girl, that's how it be.
Oh my goodness. And remembering those people and the things that I did and the things that happened, it was hard. And it was like every memory that I wrote out, it was cathartic because he was redeeming it and healing me in the process. And so I wrote this book 3 years ago, but I feel like even in the past 3 years, like, God has shown me so much about his grace. And when we understand his heart and the fact that we're all born into sin, we're all born in with iniquity and things that we struggle with, and whether it be homosexuality or whatever the case may be, sin is sin, and it manifests differently in each one of our lives. Right. And so I've just been so humbled in the past year just by the people that God has brought into my life to surround me and to show me that this isn't the biggest sin issue. It's not the and the way that the church is dealing with it or should deal with it should be from a place of love and love and truth, not compromising one for the other, because that's what how Jesus responds, in love and truth. And I just, like, my heart is to give people hope that change is possible, not in your own strength or if you will it into being, but in submission to Christ, and with any sin issue, not just this, submission to Christ and allowing him to intervene and laying down the parts of our lives that are the hardest to lay down. And he can bring about transformation that you never thought was possible. And even change your desires. Like, I never, ever, ever was excited about having a boyfriend or getting married or having kids. I never thought that would happen. And as I've drawn near to Christ, I've noticed that something that I'm excited about. I don't know when or who or anything, but something that, like, he not only can deliver you, but he can completely change your heart. Yeah. And he's good at doing so. And so that's my heart. In the book, I tell my story, the whole falling and the 8 years in the lifestyle, and then the process of God bringing me out. But really, that's, like I said earlier, something that continues, I think, our whole lives, because we continue to learn daily constant how much we need him, and how deep his grace is.
I know you ain't come here for a word, but you got it, okay? That was really soothing. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing, Gabby, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Lawrence Green, I know you need to sign out.
Sorry, I just feel good.
That's so weak. I know that's right.
Boys,
I was like, no, seriously. It was really soothing. I don't know what that was, but girl,
it was the Holy Ghost.
The anointing.
What am I supposed to be talking about?
Just say goodbye.
Goodbye, kings and queens.
No, your final thoughts, like, what do you think? And just, I mean, she did set the tone in here. I'm ready to go into worship. I'm dead.
Oh, God, I want to lay it all down. Anyway, so T.I. is problematic.
Yeah, right.
I do condemn his actions. I do think that we have to protect our girls, but in a way that I think it gets hard, and there's a thin line because of just, like, the double standard that we live in society. Granted, we're growing out of that. Women are becoming more empowered in these day and ages, but yet and still there is a stigma. And so I think I there is, I think, a level of grace that I think all fathers should have when it comes towards their daughters, and a protection that they have, although there should be not of an invasion of crossing of boundaries. Mm-hmm. I definitely do believe that all people, Christians and non-Christians alike, should get educated with sex education, understanding sexuality from God's point of view. That's it. So,
Lawrence Green signing out.
King's his birth. Follow me.
Lindsay.
I think we've said all that has needed to be said, really. I think just again, we, like Lawrence just touched on, we raise our daughters, but we love our boys. So, mm-hmm. just getting to a place, like we said, that there's balance, you know, in our parenting, and that we're leading by example, mm-hmm. and not just by what we're saying. But yeah, that's it for me.
I think, I know we talked about it in our live podcast, so make sure you guys are staying in tune, because you know that we're doing another live podcast 2020, baby. So here's the prelude to that. But I know we talked about, you know, sex education, and just like, I feel like it being more prevalent in the church is important. Like Gabby said, I do believe this is a matter of the heart. Before it is a matter of her freaking hymen, heart over hymen, man. And so, I don't know. Yeah, I'm just not a fan of it, really. Like, I think he's wilding. Like, I think he's problematic. And that is it for this podcast, guys. But we love you guys. Make sure you guys stay tuned. You. Thank you so much, Gabby, for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Can we round of applause for Gabby. I mean, you came in here and you laid it down. Yeah. Lawrence, clapping in the mic. but that is it for this podcast, guys. Don't forget to follow me at Modigga. Make sure you guys like, comment, and subscribe to all the platforms. Leave reviews. Follow us at A Convo with Mo on Instagram. Crown by Grace is signing out.
Bye, guys.
Kingston's Birth is signing out.
Peace.
Gabby is signing out.
Bye.
All right, we are out of here in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.